we present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with Julia Lockwood. Episode 9, Disqualified, featuring this week's guest stars, John Barron and Peter Jones.
Moody and Sharp solicitors. Mr. Sharp, secretary speaking.
Sally, it's me, Roger.
Good morning, Mr. Thursby.
Good morning. Sally, what's the matter? Why are you calling me Mr. Thursby?
Because it's your name. I always call people by their names. What can I do for you, Mr. Thursby?
Look, what is this? Are you trying to punish me? Have I done something wrong?
I'm not sure. Isn't it wrong for a barrister to tout for briefs?
But I haven't. I don't. I'm not.
Well, why else would you ring up a solicitor who once sent you a brief except to hint that you'd like another?
I'm not ringing up a solicitor.
Oh, so sorry. You've got the wrong number then. Goodbye, Mr. Thursby.
Sally, don't ring off. It's you I want to speak to.
Well, couldn't you have waited till after work?
I always used to ring you at your old job.
That was different.
Why?
I'm not sure Mr. Sharp would like my having personal calls at the office.
Mr. If he doesn't like me, he can lump it. You tell your Mr. Sharp I shall ring you up whenever I want to.
If you feel so strongly about it, you tell him.
I will. I certainly will. I'll give him a piece of my mind if I ever meet him.
Oh, would you like me to make an appointment?
No, I'll write you. Say, why are we wasting time talking about this wretched man?
He's not wretched. He's a sweet man.
I don't care if he's 12 stone of solid saccharine. I didn't ring up to talk about him.
What did you ring up to talk about?
Us.
What about us?
It's ages since I've seen you.
2 days.
That's what I mean.
And you spent both evenings with Joy.
That's not true.
One of them, then.
Leave that as it may. I simply can't wait to see you again. Look, have lunch with me today.
I only take a short lunch break.
This man Sharp's a monster. Grinding the faces of his starving workers. It's enough to make anyone see red. My goodness, I tell you what, if ever I do run into him, I'll tear him off a strip.
Like you did to that judge. All right. I'll meet you for a quick snack in the usual pub.
You will? Great. 1 o'clock?
Give or take 10 minutes. Goodbye, Mr. Thursby.
Sally, look, wait. No, what is all this Mr. Thursby stuff? Sally? Sally, you said 1 o'clock.
I said give or take. We're a bit early because Peter's got to see a client at 4:15.
Peter?
You know, Peter Sharp, my boss.
Why you call him Peter?
Because it's his name.
His name's Peter. My name's Mr. Thursby. Now, look here, sir.
I'm sorry about that, Sally. I got caught by that ball.
Ah, Peter. I don't think you two have actually met, have you? Roger Thursby, Peter Sharp.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, this is a great pleasure, Mr. Thursby.
Is that what you call it?
Well, it gives me the chance to tell you how much I enjoyed your handling of that accident case. I do hope you'll be free to take on some more work for us sometime.
Oh, well, thank you. Sorry I didn't win that one.
Yes, well, there was no more than an outside chance. But what I liked was the way you stood up to the judge.
I am due to let judges push you around.
Oh, absolutely not. But you're the first one I've seen trying to push a judge around. Great performance. I laughed a lot.
Laughed?
Yes, made my day. Sorry, I can't stop and have a drink with you now. I've got to see a client.
Don't forget you're in court this afternoon.
Oh, not likely. Bloody Brewer's swan song.
What do you say?
I've got a road accident case in front of Judge Brewer. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
Oh, you're lucky. He's the scourge of the motorist.
Really? Why swan song? Is he retiring?
Oh, no. But this will be his last case in that court. He's going to do criminal work in future. Goodbye, Mr. Thursby. Very nice to have met you. Be good, Sally.
Why didn't you do it?
What?
Tear him off a strip.
Well, here, in a crowded bar, there's no place for stripping.
Oh, was it because he hinted at more briefs?
Certainly not. Nothing of the kind.
I'm very glad to hear it, Roger, darling.
What did you say?
I said I'm very glad to hear it.
I heard you. I'm promoted again, am I?
Are you?
Well, this morning it was all Mr. Thursby. Now it's back to Roger, darling. What's the game, Sally?
It's not a game. It's one of the rules at Moody and Sharp. We don't call people by their Christian names in the office.
But I wasn't in the office.
I was.
Oh, really, Sally? Honestly.
Well, it might be all right if I called you Mr. Thursby, darling.
Is that what you call your boss?
Of course not. His name isn't Thursby.
Sally, do you or do you not call him Mr. Sharp, darling?
No, Roger, I do not. It's Mr. Sharp in the office and Peter outside.
What about a drink?
A very quick one. I ought to get back.
Well, look, what's the hurry? You're Mr. Sharp's in court this afternoon.
Oh, I know. Bloody Brewer's swan song. But I have got a lot of work waiting for me.
Now what happens, Mr. Sharp?
That's all, Mr. Smith. Now Judge Brewer will give judgment.
For me, I hope.
I wouldn't count on it, Mr. Smith. I wouldn't count on it.
Before I come to the question of liability, I should say that the damages have been agreed at £150. I now come to the evidence. Two witnesses have given their account of the accident. namely the drivers concerned, Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith. Mr. Jones has told me that he has never before had an accident. I can only say that if the evidence to which I have listened shows a fair sample of his driving, he's been a remarkably lucky man. And so indeed have those within striking distance of him. His driving, if typical, and in view of his obvious satisfaction with himself, I suspect it is, if I say it is representative of his normal driving, it shows him to be a driver who is completely regardless of the safety, let alone the convenience of others. It is a great pity that a judge in civil cases has no power to disqualify a man from driving. I may say that if I had such power, I would make sure that Mr. Jones had no more accidents in the next 20 years.
What about that, eh, Mr. Sharp?
Wait for it, Mr. Smith, wait for it.
Regarding Mr. Smith's driving, on the other hand, it is difficult to say whether his extraordinary manoeuvres were due to a complete inability on his part to control a motor car, to gross stupidity, or to an utter callousness rivaling that of Mr. Jones. I would certainly remove his license, if I had the power, for the same period as I would remove that of Mr. Jones. Unfortunately, I have not that power, and I can only express the hope that if either of these two gentlemen has the slightest regard for the lives or limbs or property of his fellow citizens, which in view of the evidence I very much doubt, but if perhaps any words of mine have brought home to one of them that he is a menace on the road, he will sell his car immediately and never drive again.
I might as well have settled in the first place. I'd have saved money. And I wouldn't have had to sit here and be insulted.
Yes, well, if you remember, Mr. Smith, I did advise that course as soon as I knew who the judge was. Never mind. Better luck next time.
There won't be a next time.
Yeah, not in front of this judge, I hope. Because if there is, it'll be a criminal case. Goodbye, Mr. Smith.
Can I give you a lift?
Not on your... No. Very kind of you. I think I'd rather walk. Miss Mannering.
Nearly finished, Mr. Sharp.
Take your time. You know that little newsagent friend of yours you sent me?
Mr. Piper, yes.
Is he out of his mind?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Little odd, perhaps. Well, are you going to act for him?
He doesn't want me. He doesn't want anyone. He's determined to run his own defense.
Oh, silly little Mr. Piper. I thought I'd convinced him he must have help.
Yeah, but he certainly needs help. He's up in front of Bloody Brewer.
Is Judge Brewer really so terrible? Or is it just a reputation he's got?
Believe me, he was bad enough trying civil cases, but now he's doing criminal work. I'll tell you what. I'll take you along to his court and you can judge for yourself.
Members of the jury, today about 20 people are going to be, or already have been, killed on the roads. 100 or more have been or will be injured. When you consider your verdict in this case, I would suggest that instead of identifying yourselves with the man in the dock and saying to yourselves, there but for the grace of God go I, that instead of doing that, you should identify yourself with 2 crushed arms and a fractured pelvis lying underneath one of these juggernauts, one of these dangerous weapons which people are allowed to brandish about. As children are allowed to play with toys. There, members of the jury, but for the grace of God, lie you. And I, and all those present in court. And before the year is up, one or more of us may be one of the thousands done to death on the roads, and no one to shed a tear except our relatives and friends.
If that doesn't make them say guilty, nothing will.
Well, mind you, he's got a point. He's got a valid point.
George Robinson, let me say first that I heartily concur with the jury's verdict. But your learned counsel has asked me to take into consideration that the man you knocked down in your reckless passage along the highway has recovered from his injuries and will suffer no lasting effects. It is difficult to listen to such a submission temperately, but I can only say this to comfort you, and I may add that it will be the only thing that will comfort you. I am not going to increase your sentence because of the nonsense which I have been forced to listen to from your learned counsel. You may be, and indeed you are, as the facts in this case show, a callous and wicked driver. But From the way in which you gave your evidence, it appears that you are not a fool. Therefore, you no doubt realize, as your learned counsel does not, that it is pure luck that your victim did not die and that you do not stand in the dock facing a charge of manslaughter, for which you should know that the maximum penalty is imprisonment for life. No turn of the wheel, no application of the brake, no reduction of speed, no action or forethought, no consideration by you prevented the injuries you inflicted on this foot passenger from being fatal. But, I repeat, I am adding nothing for what almost amounts to an impertinent submission by your learned counsel. I was, however, I'm afraid, raising your hopes unduly when I said that this would be a comfort to you. As if I wanted to add anything to your sentence, I could not do so, since it is plain that this offense calls for the imposition of the maximum sentence. You'll go to prison for 2 years, and your license will be suspended for 5.
Do you believe me now?
Poor little Mr. Piper. Somebody's got to do something to keep him out of prison.
Hello?
Mr. Thursby, darling.
Sally, what are you doing at the office at this time of the evening?
Oh, I'm not, as a matter of fact. I got muddled. Sorry, Roger, darling.
That's better.
You remember what you said the other day?
Which particular memorable saying of mine do you mean?
If I had a legal problem, I was to bring it to you.
Oh, yes, of course. What is it, Sally?
It's this friend of mine, a little man who has a shop near here. He's being charged with dangerous driving, and he's insisting on doing the case himself.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it normally, but sometimes it works if you get a judge who goes out of his way to help.
Oh, this one won't. It's Judge Brewer.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Well, I don't see quite what I can do.
Nor do I at the moment. But I thought you might give him some advice. And when you've talked to him, you might hit on some line of defense that hadn't occurred to anyone else.
Oh. Yes, I might. I might very easily.
I know it's not like sending you a brief, but it's all experience, isn't it? And you would be helping a friend of mine.
Any friend of yours or a friend of mine? Except the fellow Sharp. When did you want me to see him?
Well, could you come round in about an hour?
Right, I'll be there on the dock.
Thank you, darling. His name's Mr. Piper.
Not Mr. Piper, darling.
No, darling. I don't call him darling, although he is a darling. He's also a bit odd. He's got a very funny way of talking. But I think he's sane. Anyway, you'll see for yourself. Ah, sweet of you to come, Roger. This is Mr. Piper, Mr. Thursby.
How do you do? I've been a-hearing about you, Mr. Thursby, from Miss Mainwaring.
Now, Mr. Piper, sit down again, and Mr. Thursby will give you the benefit of his expert advice.
Oh. Well, now, one question first, Mr. Piper. Why do you insist on appearing in person instead of being represented?
I'm looking at it this way, Mr. Thursby. If I have a lawyer, I'll have to be telling him what happened.
Yes.
Then he'll be going into court and telling the judge and jury.
Something like that.
So I'm a saving of time and money if I cut out the middleman and tell them on my own.
Well, you see, you mightn't tell it as well as experienced counsel. And you mightn't be so good at twisting the other side's tail. However, let's assume for the moment you're going to appear in person.
That's what I'm going to be a-doing of.
Right. Then, just let me give you a few tips.
Uh-huh.
First, you'll have to be careful they don't make you say something you don't mean to.
I'm not following how they can make you say something you don't want to say.
Well, I'm afraid you'll soon find out if you take that attitude.
I'm not taking any attitude. I'm simply not following.
Well, some lawyers, I don't say that I could, but some lawyers can make people say anything.
But how? If I say a car is a black, how can they make me say it is a white?
Mm. I'll show you how it's done. You say it was black, do you?
I do.
I put it to you that it was white.
No, it was a black.
White.
A black.
White.
A black.
Now, let me ask you something else. How could you tell what colour it was?
By looking at it.
Could you see the colour quite plainly?
Quite.
And you think it was black?
No.
Ah. You don't think it was black?
No.
Then it was white?
No.
But, Mr. Piper, either it was black or white. You're not suggesting it was grey?
No.
Then, if you don't think it was black, it was white?
No.
I put it to you, sir. I put it to you. That you were trifling with the court. You admit it was either black or white, and you don't think it was black. Then it must have been white.
No.
Explain yourself, sir.
You asked me if I thought it was black, and I said no, I didn't think it was black.
That's right.
I didn't think it was black. I knew it was.
Well, I must admit that was really quite clever, Mr. Piper.
But it's still a black. I want to know how they can make you say it's a white.
It's all right, I'll try again. Could you have made a mistake, sir?
Yes.
You admit that?
Yes, I could have made a mistake, but I didn't. It was a black. Perhaps you'd like to ask me if black doesn't sometimes look the same as white.
No. That's a very silly question, Mr. Piper.
But I'd answer yes to it.
But black sometimes looks the same as white?
Often. In the dark, you know.
Ah! Now, was it dark on this occasion?
Yes.
Then how could you tell whether it was black or white?
Because the street lights were on.
It looks as if Mr. Piper can keep his end up all right.
Yeah, keep his end up and score freely all around the wicket.
But that doesn't mean he'll be acquitted.
Oh, no, certainly not. Now, that'll depend on the evidence. Is it a bad case, by the way?
That's all according. I wasn't looking where I was going.
Oh. Now, was anyone hurt?
My feelings were hurt very much.
By what?
By what the policeman said.
Well, what did he say?
I wouldn't like to be a saying of that in front of the lady.
Look, what actually happened?
I was driving along the high street, thinking about my paper shop, when I suddenly saw a lot of people are running in every direction. And then a policeman stopped me and asked me what I thought I was a-doing of. And I said I thought I was a-driving along the high street.
Now, forgive my asking you, but did you actually knock anybody down?
No, they all managed to get away.
Now, were they crossing the road?
Some was crossing one way and some was crossing the other. They all started slow, but they ended up fast.
Well, he didn't happen to be a pedestrian crossing, I suppose.
Funny you should be thinking about that, because it was.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Not too good, is it?
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. A whole lot of pedestrians on a pedestrian crossing, Mr. Piper admits he scattered them like chickens.
That's good. They was like chickens. When I saw them scatter, I said to myself, they're like chickens they are, I said.
Look, I hope you didn't say that to the policeman, did you?
Why should I want to say that to the policeman?
Mr. Piper, never do that.
I beg it of your pardon?
Never answer a question with another question, or you'll make things even worse for yourself. It's like the accused man who's asked, and did you steal it? And if he answers, what should I want to steal it for? Everyone knows he did steal it.
Thank you, Mr. Thursby. That's a good tip. That is, never say, what should I want to be a stealing of it for? I'll remember that. What should I want to be a stealing of it for?
What? Yes, that's
what should
yes,
I
yes,
want
all right,
to be
a... you got it. It's quite about stealing. Never about stealing. Let's go back to the dangerous driving, right? Now, have you ever done a thing like this before?
Never so many. I haven't actually caught one at all.
Well, at least you've got no convictions.
None at all. I would stake my oath on that.
Well, thank heavens for that. That's something. Now, may I ask how old you are, Mr. Piper?
I'm 49, going 50, or is it a coming?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's pretty good, anyway, very good. 49 and no previous convictions. I think we're getting somewhere now. Now, how long have you been driving, Mr. Piper?
Oh, it seems a long time since I started.
Yeah, well, how long would you say about?
You don't mind if it's not exact.
No. Just the number of years.
Years, did you say?
Yes, just approximately how many?
Oh, not years.
How do you mean, not years?
I'd prefer to do it in months.
All right, fair enough, yeah. There are 12 months in the year. Well, for how many months have you been driving? 120? 240? With a full license, I mean. They don't count the time you were a learner.
I can't be sure exactly, but at least 6.
Oh. 6 months. And apart from convictions, how many accidents have you had in that time?
I should say not more than one a month.
Mr. Piper, I'm sorry to say, the more I ask, the worse it gets.
Then perhaps you'd better stop asking, Mr. Thursby.
There must be something else.
Is there, Mr. Piper? I mean, can you think of anything about this accident you haven't told me yet?
Only one thing.
Yes, yes. What is it?
I was on the right side of the road.
Well, I suppose that's one point in your favour.
It might be abroad, not in this country, where the right side is the wrong side.
Mr. Piper, do you want my honest opinion?
I wouldn't want you a lion.
I don't know Judge Brewer myself. I've never been in front of him. But from what I hear, I'm afraid he may send you to prison.
No question of may. On the case as it stands, he certainly will.
Look, are you sure you want to go on driving at all?
How am I to be a getting from place to place if I don't drive?
Couldn't you get a bicycle?
Too dangerous. I used to be a riding of a bicycle, but I kept knocking people down.
If I were you, Mr. Piper, I'd stick to walking and public transport.
I'll be having to, won't I, if they were taking my licence away.
I'm afraid that's bound to happen. Any judge would take your licence away, and frankly, I wouldn't blame them.
Well, never mind the licence. Most judges wouldn't send him to prison, but this one will. And I can't bear the thought of dear Mr. Piper being in prison.
I'm not thinking very highly of it myself. Perhaps I can be a saying of as I want another judge to try me.
Look, you can be a saying of it till you're blue in the face, but it won't get you anywhere.
I'm not feeling well disposed to Judge Brewer today.
I'm afraid he won't be well disposed to you, Mr. Piper.
I'll be a thinking hard thoughts of him when I see him tonight.
When you see him? Well, you know him. You know him. That's marvellous. Your troubles are over, Mr. Piper. He can't try the case. If he knows you, he's disqualified from trying it.
Like I'm going to be disqualified from driving.
Exactly.
Mr. Piper, where are you seeing Judge Brewer tonight?
In my mind's eye. What? When I'm going to meet anybody that's important to me, I'm usually a seeing of them in my mind's eye first.
You don't know him then?
I don't know of him from Adam.
You're sure he hasn't been into your shop sometime to buy a paper?
Why should he want to do a thing like that?
Careful.
What should he want to be a stealing of it for?
Even if he had been in your shop, that wouldn't be enough to disqualify him. What a letdown. I really thought we had the answer then.
Well, if that could have been one answer, there must be another one somewhere. We'll just have to take it from the top again and think, think, think.
Yes. When is the case being heard, Mr. Piper?
Next week, they say.
Oh, good. At least that gives us a little time. I'll tell you what, I'll talk to Grimes tomorrow, see if he's got any bright ideas.
You do that, Roger. And ring me at the office if he comes up with anything.
Right, who do I ask for? Miss Mannering, darling?
Don't you dare. Dear Mr. Piper, don't give up hope. We'll keep on working at it. Moody and Sharp solicitors. Mr. Sharp's secretary speaking.
Good morning, darling secretary. This is darling Thursby.
Mr. Thursby. Any luck with Mr. Grimes?
Afraid not. He says there are only two alternatives, Mr. Piper.
A what?
Either tell him the tale, face the music, or flee the country.
I won't have Mr. Piper driven into exile.
He oughtn't to drive himself.
Funny you should mention driving.
Well, why? That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes. That's why I thought of going for a drive with Mr. Piper this evening.
Tell you can't. You mustn't.
You don't understand. Mr. Piper and I will be passengers in your car. You'll be driving.
Oh, that's different. What's the point?
It is a motoring case, isn't it? I thought if we all got together in a car, we might come up with the answer.
And if it was an arson case, would we all go around together setting shops on fire?
Don't be silly, Mr. Thursby. I feel like a drive in the country anyway. But if you don't want to come, Mr. Piper will have to take me.
No, I won't have it.
Then bring the car around about 5:30 and pick us up. Fork left here, Roger.
What?
I like the look of this road. Yeah. I must admit this was a good idea, Roger.
We haven't thought of anything yet.
You haven't.
Have you?
I was thinking what a lovely evening it is.
It's nice to see the sun shining off. I shan't see so much of that when I'm in prison.
You're not going to prison. What's this village called, Roger?
What? I'm going to a fast notice. Well, does it matter?
Not really, but I'd like to know.
Oh, there's another sign coming up. There it is. Yes, Little Moppet. What an odd name.
Isn't it? It's the next.
What's the next?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You ought to be knowing what you're a-talking of.
Yes, I ought to, Mr. Piper. But I feel a bit odd somehow.
Darling, aren't you well?
Well, not exactly ill. I feel funny.
I'm expecting it's the car sickness.
It might be.
Going along too steady. Better let me be a-driving.
No!
No! I'll stop at the next village and we'll go have a drink in the pub.
Well, I'll be all right, I think. Hello!
Sally, you are ill.
I feel a bit faint. I think you'd better stop, Roger.
Right. Now, put your head on your knees.
That house there, do you think they'd let me have a glass of water?
Yeah, of course. I'll go and get it.
No, I might feel better in the air. If you give me your arms, both of you, we'll walk across.
It's all right, of course. Yes. Here, I hope you are. Steady. Now, grab hold of my arm.
Thank you. I'm sorry to be such a bore.
For heaven's sake, just take it easy.
Yes, a more haste, the less a speed. That's a way.
Thank you, Mr. Piper. I only hope he's in.
What did you say, darling?
Nothing.
Yes? good evening.
Good evening, sir. Sorry to bother you.
The ladies are faint. Could we possibly ask you for a glass of water?
Oh, of course, certainly. Come along in.
Thank you so much.
Nothing serious, I hope. Want a doctor?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm sure I'll be all right in a minute. If I could just sit down and have a drink.
I have some Malvern water here, if that's all right.
Lovely.
Or something stronger. Brandy, perhaps.
No, really, thank you. Just water.
I think I might be a bit of a...
You might what?
I might faint if there was something stronger.
See what you mean. A little scotch?
You're too a-kind.
What about you, sir?
That's very kind of you, sir, but really not. Thank you. I never drink and drive.
Very proper. Here you are. glass of water. That's right. Just sip it. And you, sir. Soda or water with your whiskey?
I prefer not to be a spoiling of it.
As you please. You're not driving, so it doesn't matter.
Poor Mr. Piper may not be driving for a very long time.
Some injury?
I'm glad to say not, and no one was hurt.
I'm afraid he's got a motoring case. Nothing very serious, just one of those pedestrian crossing affairs.
Those pedestrian crossing affairs, as you call them, madam, may result in people losing their lives.
Oh, dear, you talk like that awful old man Mr. Piper's coming in front of. Doesn't he, Mr. Piper?
He does sound a bit like it.
Isn't it bad luck? He's coming up in front of a terrible judge. Judge Bloody Brewer, they call him. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Piper?
That's right, yes. Bloody Brewer.
As a matter of fact, I am Judge Brewer.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. I had no idea.
I think if you're feeling better, madam, you'd like to go back to the car.
Oh, I'm so terribly sorry. Yes, I'm quite better now. I can't thank you enough, and I really must apologize, and so ought you, Mr. Piper. Otherwise, you may get an extra 6 months.
I shouldn't like that.
Good evening, madam.
I wonder if I might have a word with you, Judge. I'm a member of the bar.
A member of the bar?
Come along, Mr. Piper.
I'm terribly sorry about that, Judge. I'm afraid I didn't know you by sight. And, of course, they didn't either.
I suppose it's good for judges to know what other men think of them. Do they really call me Bloody Brewer?
Well, why should they want to call you that? I'm sure they don't, Judge.
I don't think I'm very popular amongst motorists. You've heard that, I expect.
I have heard something like that. If I may say so, Judge, I think it's a very, very good thing that someone slaps them down.
You aren't appearing in the case by any chance?
Certainly not, Judge. I wouldn't have stayed behind if I had been.
Oh, good. You've learnt the rules pretty quickly, if I may say so. How long have you been called?
Only a few months, I'm afraid.
Many people don't think about these things. A judge mustn't see one side without the other being present. Which reminds me, I have seen one side. Your driving friend. I can't hear the case now, can I?
Well, Judge, if you ask me...
I wasn't asking you, in fact. But what's your view?
Well, I know it's none of my business, but he has called you names, and if you did sentence him, he might think he's got extra because of it. Of course, I'd know that that had nothing to do with it, so would all lawyers.
What is your name, young man?
Roger Thurtby.
You seem to be a very sensible young man. You ought to do well. I'm also glad to see that you take your responsibilities as a driver seriously. May I ask what your driving friend's name is?
Well, he's not actually my friend, sir. He's the man who keeps the paper shop near my girlfriend.
And his name?
Piper.
I shall see to it. Mr. Piper has tried before another judge. And if he did drive over a pedestrian crossing, he's a very lucky man.
Thank you, Judge. May I tell him what you said?
Certainly. He'll probably stand you a drink on the strength of it.
Not when I'm driving.
Good. Goodbye, Thursby. Good luck.
Thank you, Judge. Goodbye.
Well, Roger?
Well, Mr. Thursby?
Well, Mr. Piper, you'll be glad to hear that you won't be going to prison. Judge Brewer won't try your case.
I'm most grateful.
But there's someone who ought to be going to prison, isn't there, Sally?
I wouldn't be a knowing of.
I should think you'd get 6 months for this lot if he came out.
Whatever do you mean?
You looked up the judge's address, you brought us to his door, you pretended to faint, you fixed the whole thing, didn't you?
Really, Roger, why should I want to do such a thing like that?
What would you want to be a scene of it for?
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows: Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Judge Brewer, John Barron, Piper, Peter Jones, Sharp, Gerard Green, Smith, John Ruddock. Disqualified was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.